Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Ravely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott. Scott, we are sitting in the hot studio.
We're gonna give people our hot takes
today. It's going to be a hot take episode.
There is no other kind of take up in this studio room, so.
Yeah, it's going to be, 95 degrees today, so we are on the third floor.
No air conditioning.
It's good. I hope we get sympathy from the listeners as we jump into potential hot takes.
That's right. If you don't like this episode, just listen to it for sympathy's sake, if you would.
There you go. And the potential for hot takes is here, or maybe a little bit of snark, which we're hoping to reel back, and even pray to not have any snark here, because we want to talk about memes. And memes are almost nothing, if not often, snarky. And what I thought was interesting when we were talking, let's talk about memes, and we put together our show notes like we usually do, and I jumped into the show notes thinking, okay, let's see what words Scott wrote down, and there were no words. There were just meme after meme after meme after meme, which is actually kind of fitting because that's what memes do. They jump in the place of words for us. But Scott, why so many memes? What's going on?
Well, first of all, in my defense, I felt like I had to sell you on this. So I thought, what memes will sell Eric on having this conversation? So
that was the criteria for picking those memes?
that was one criteria, yes. I think Eric will want to talk about this when he sees these. So that was one. The other was that I had run across these actually on Facebook, where people typically run across memes, but they had been posted by some high school friends of mine who are not Christians and were posting these memes to kind of point out the hypocrisy of Christians. It was just really sad and hard for me to stomach, I suppose you could say. And I thought, you know what? Partly because I'd seen Christian people post these also on my Facebook feed and thought, we're like feeding, ammunition to people who want to shoot down Christianity. Mm. There you go. Let's
So you saw it as a rebuttal of Christianity from non-Christians, but had also proven the point that yes, Christians do post these memes.
Well, it wasn't a rebuttal. They were antagonistic against Christianity in part because of the hypocrisy that these memes betrayed in their eyes in the life of the Christians who post them. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. So that was the first thing that I thought, I wonder if we can talk about this. And then it turns out that those, what got it started for them was how unhinged Christians came, or how unhinged Christians became watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics and the drag queen festivities that we... that many, anyway, thought were a mockery of Da Vinci's Last Supper. Mm-hmm. Now, here we go.
Yeah, where do you want to go?
This is where
take your next step we
prayed.
Carefully.
We prayed about this already, but Da Vinci's Last Supper is not the Last Supper. It's a portrayal of the Last Supper to mock Da Vinci, or even perhaps to laugh at him for, I don't know, having everybody on one side of the table. Things that, that's not how it went down. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to pick on Da Vinci, that's actually even different than picking on Jesus. But turns out, after I don't know,
some mild internet outrage,
millions of people were outraged about it. And in all fairness, I mean, you indicated that it was outrageous because it was not something you wanted to watch. You wanted to watch the Olympics with your kids,
oh, yeah.
But you couldn't watch this with your kids.
But not because I thought it looked like Da Vinci at all.
Right, not because you thought,
yeah, oh. Yeah, we're watching with my kids and we're having a great time and they're loving it. And then all of a sudden the scene comes on and there's people dancing on a table. And I thought, oh, this is just inappropriate.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
I need to figure out how to fast forward Peacock right now because this is not working out.
Yeah, no, it was. Anyway, it was just distasteful. And anyway, what was it? It was supposedly, at least their response of the Olympic Committee or the whoever responded, was that this was not about Da Vinci's Last Supper. This mm-hmm. was about the Feast of Dionysus or something.
And the Bacchus guy came out.
Yeah.
Another word for Dionysius, but.
Anyway, it was not a Christian referent. It was a mm-hmm. pagan referent.
Mm-hmm.
And so here Christians jumped to outrage. This is, I think, part of what maybe we want to talk about is the immediacy of the outrage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't see it, but I woke up to it. I woke up to the outrage the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then later that day, it became more and more clear that the outrage was misplaced, that it mm-hmm. wasn't a Last Supper referent. It was this other pagan myth. So,
And if that's the case, which it probably was, whatever, that just kind of underscores my initial point. Like, yeah, they're referencing pagan things and being pagan in the way they're interacting and being gross and just revealing things they shouldn't reveal, and my kids shouldn't be watching it. And I remember seeing the thing pop up on the screen and thought, oh, well, of course they would do something like this. They being a secularized culture, specifically France from basically 300 years ago, like remove themselves from the church, remove themselves from really any authoritative underpinnings beyond the individual. That was like mm-hmm. the French Enlightenment, or not the French Enlightenment, but the French Revolution. So when something like that happens, part of you has to go, well, of course they did that. Of course that was the emphasis of, and I can't remember what the French word was during the theme.
Oh, it was Stevie for
festive. Yes, festive.
Yeah.
So that just kind of reminded me, like, set your expectations appropriately. When you're engaging in viewing the entertainment provided by the world, you shouldn't be surprised when it is worldly, or in this particular instance, pagan, worshiping and praising other gods. Or Bacchus is the god of drunkenness. Like, of course it's going to be crazy.
And of course it's going to be gross.
Yeah.
And it's going to be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, the other thing that the outrage sort of indicates is that there is this expectation on the part of Christians that other people, say pagans, like you mentioned, should act as though they're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And they should give me Christian entertainment. And, you know, there is a privilege in that assumption. There is the underpinnings of that assumption have to do with what I think, I don't know, not in this case, America, but that really my country should be Christian, my entertainment should be Christian, all the things should be Christian. And that goes back to a lot of, I think, what we're expecting from politics too, and from our politicians. And we've had this conversation before on here, it seems like to me, mm-hmm. that if ours is not a Christian country, we don't need to expect Christian things from it.
Right. Well, and if I wasn't planning to talk about any of this, but I think it's really funny, our assumptions. We were watching a global show.
Right.
It's not a national show. It's
right.
not an American, because usually the argument is about America used to be a Christian nation, blah, blah, blah.
Right, that's what I'm bringing
up. It's a global thing. Well, you're watching a global thing, and why would you expect a Christian nature to a global thing. Obviously, it's Western, so there's Western civilization, and there are influences, and we talked about those before. Western civilization exists in part because Christianity exists. I think they're mm-hmm. interwoven to some degree. So there is some assumptions about what you would expect to see from Western civilization, but Western civilization is not Christian.
Right.
So it's just funny, like even Americans watching TV, how dare they not meet my sensibilities? Like, well, it's not American.
Right. And yeah, I just take a breath. We don't need the outrage overnight when we're not sure that what's actually even going on. See, that's the thing. I mean, mm-hmm. just because something reminds you of something else doesn't mean it's a direct attack on that thing either. Mm-hmm. And just because this reminded you of the Last Supper doesn't mean it was an attack on the Last Supper.
Or an illusion.
Yes. And so that's what made me want to talk about it, because then it shows up with a level of reverse outrage, you might say, in the Facebook feeds of my friends who are not Christian, who now are saying, listen to these Christians get all fired up about something that they're not even educated enough about to comment on. That was really the the thrust of this their conversation, and why I felt it would be good to for us to bring it up, because my prayer is that this will save even one person from forwarding a ridiculous meme full of outrage or snark that they don't need to forward. That is not, you know, if somebody got a gun to your head, I'd still think twice before I'd forward some of these stupid things. But anyway. If they got a gun to your head, I'll let you at least think twice. But if there's no gun to your head, please don't forward memes like this. So
we've talked a lot about the Olympic ceremony, but also the memes associated with it. But then you're referencing these other memes.
Okay, let me tell you why. Because what they did is so here is a quote from one of them. It says, "Christians, we're offended that the Paris Olympics recreated the Last Supper." Then the next line says, also Christians. And then there's a picture of Donald Trump in the center of the much more clearly alluding to Da Vinci's Last Supper with Donald Trump in the middle and Jesus off to the side. Or Jesus with his hands raised and Donald Trump's face on him. Or, you know, Jesus praying for Donald Trump, or there's like a whole bunch of these. And then they said, you know, yeah, we're offended the Paris Olympics recreated the Last Supper, and we're not offended when Donald Trump takes Jesus' place in the Last Supper. And you know what? I don't comment on very many Facebook things, but I just said, you are right. I think the intent was offensive as it was in the Olympics, was a better intent and less subversive to Christianity than the Donald Trump Last Supper picture. Mm. Because as far as subversive goes, I mean, Christianity grew up in the time of these Greek gods. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christianity flourishes when the Greek gods are doing their best.
Right.
You know, I mean, bring it on. Mm-hmm. Bring that on. But when you put Donald Trump in the middle of the Last Supper, then that will be bad for Christianity. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's why I'm alluding to these other things, because they were linked on this Facebook post,
right,
with these political memes. And so anyway,
Well, that's great. Let's rewind a little bit, because I think that's helpful context. But then let's just talk about, what is a meme? Obviously, we got this from dictionary.com, so this will be super helpful. An image, video, piece of text, typically humorous in nature, that is copied and spread rapidly by internet users, often with slight variations. And everyone knows this. They have them in their text threads. They see them on social media. The word meme comes from the Greek word, what would it be?
Mimema,
meaning something that has been imitated. According to Britannica, the word was
mimic. We get the word mimic from it.
The word was first introduced by Richard Dawkins, a British biologist, in the book The Selfish Gene. His intention was for a meme to sound similar to Gene.
Which I didn't know that. I learned that in the research for this episode. And I did put those words in here, just so you know, I used some words.
Nice. That, yeah. Those are the only words, folks. Everything else is memes.
I copied them from somebody else. But yes, meme was used first by Richard Dawkins. I did not know that.
And frankly, memes can be very helpful. A meme captures a particular feeling about a particular thing. And I can admit that I find it super fun and super effective when I have that text chain with people to, I want to communicate a feeling with friends, and I throw a meme into the text thread. That is far more effective than the paragraph it would take to describe, I'm feeling this way. But if we have, I'm picturing my running group or something, and we have all these memes ready to go for, I ran this race, or I did this thing, or I beat that PR, and people
have a sore foot.
I have a sore foot. That's where all my memes are right now. Okay, you just said that, and I just pictured memes in my head of like the guy sad in the swing, and just all the different things where you're just sitting around sad. And we think in memes. I think that's part of the problem. But they can be helpful because they express feelings that it would take a long time, and probably we are not even we're not all great writers. We can't necessarily evoke the feelings with words and prose that we can with, hey, here's a picture. If I put this picture up, I'm communicating a particular feeling and idea. You will catch that particular feeling and idea because we share the same media, we share the same videos, we share the same movies, the same cultural touch points. And I get to basically steal a lot of bases sharing that picture, and I get to communicate something.
Well, it's shorthand.
It's totally shorthand.
So, and because we share those things, you know, I or whoever's on your text thread can read your shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much faster and, you know, sometimes more fun to read your shorthand than it is to read your longhand.
Totally. And it's incredibly, they can be incredibly effective to communicate, I put vibes or feelings. But I keep referencing text threads because I use it for a fairly small group of people, and I know all the people in that group. And I know their context. I know what they're going to communicate. When you use a meme to communicate to really the entire world, you're far less able to be confident in, here's what I'm communicating and here's what other people will pick up from my communication.
Their touch points are not necessarily the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think, and you can jump in as well, but I think the reason we need to be careful about memes is that we become a meme culture where we sub in memes for arguments all the time. And we think, oh, that's sufficient. I can just throw this meme up there. I don't need to make an argument. I don't need to use words. And the issue is that pictures cannot make arguments. You can communicate a feeling. You can communicate a vibe. You can communicate an emotion about something. But you can't make an argument. You can't persuade someone. And I think to engage in that type of argumentation and that assertion and just throw memes instead of words, instead of talking to someone and trying to argue in the best sense, that's really a form of laziness. And as I'm thinking about, okay, we're a people of the book. We're supposed to be a people of the book, which means we're supposed to be a people of words. We're supposed to be a people who pays close attention to words. And even I just did a quick little search and was reminded of a verse in 1 Thessalonians where Paul is telling them, therefore encourage one another with these words. And all the words he had already spoken about the last days and the coming of the Lord and all these things, not encourage one another with really cool memes. it's these specific words that are communicating specific things and have particular reference. That's what you encourage people with. And I think if we lean on memes too much, we lose our ability to do that.
Well, see, you mentioned that it's not really argumentation, and you're not trying to get people to be argumentative. You're trying to get people.
I mean, in the persuasion sense.
You're trying to get people to think.
Mm-hmm.
And see, one of the things that a meme does is it shortcuts the thinking,
mm-hmm.
so that I can see that I make some assumptions about the sender. I make some assumptions about the creator of that meme, but I don't have to think through the complexities of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it's so hard for Christians just to cut and paste a meme into something on in public is because they're, most of the things in life are more complicated than the meme makes it out to be and require more thought than the meme would generate. And so you're stuck with, you know, you said laziness, but I think there's an imprecision. See, I don't think that I know any Christians who are outraged at that show on the opening ceremonies of the Olympics that intended people there that intended their outrage to cast shade on Jesus. They wanted to stand up for Jesus. But see, some of this is how when things happen, when you go so quickly and you think and you think in terms of pictures and memes, then you're not able, you don't really connect all the dots down to where you, what could be the outcome of this. And see, that's a sad part for me is I don't think that most Christians wanted to appear ignorant or wanted to get their, you know, I just wanted to protest that when it wasn't really about that. I mean, it just was, it just made me sad that Christians got out on a limb and then it got sawed off behind them, kind of on that one. But heavy sigh.
Yeah. Well, I think another thing that's interesting, I think you're right. I think most people, I think there are some people hunting for outrage, but I think most people were, I like Jesus. I love Jesus. I don't want people making fun of Jesus. I'm going to jump on this.
Yes. Yep. Thank you. 100%. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. And I also want, if memes are used, some of the memes you're describing that your friend posted that is not a Christian, is doesn't agree with those things, but is seeing these really strange memes, I also want people to have that same gut reaction to those memes. Hey, I like Jesus. I love Jesus. That is not a good way to represent Jesus. And if I were to give the benefit of the doubt, some of those, like you've seen the picture of like Trump in the White House, like praying or something, and Jesus is right there. I think there's a potential where some people are going, you know what? I want God to take care of him or something, like the smallest version of that type of meme. And the problem is when you communicate that, not everyone's going to think the same thing. It could be, no, he is his man or whatever, and there could be various interpretations of those. But if there's just an imprecision, and sometimes it just gets downright sacrilegious. Like that's, we do not equate these things. And I want us to be careful, but I also want us to care about Jesus's reputation when it is skewed by any side of any argument. And I want us to care more about Jesus than we care about anything else.
Right. And one of the things about these political memes, and particularly political memes with Donald Trump, he seems to somehow be more prone to it than other candidates that I've seen, shall we say. Maybe you've seen some.
Well, I was just going to say, because we are a meme culture, that is part of campaigning now. There are teams that make memes for the campaign. So I was even reading, I can't remember if it was the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, but the Kamala Harris campaign is going to be a meme campaign. And there's teams of people making memes so that you can present that vibe or that feeling or that thing because we are persuaded by memes, not by arguments. And frankly, I think you should all be a little bit insulted about that. People are designing pictures because they know they can capture you with your emotions because we're so used to, oh, I feel that meme and I'm gonna retweet it or share it or whatever. And the political campaigns are geared up to provide that content to you so that you respond accordingly.
So you're talking about official memes.
Yeah.
Right. And there, I don't know if I've seen official memes yet. Maybe,
You probably wouldn't know.
But I think that a lot of these have to do with Christians who want God's blessing on our country. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the thing. These are well-intentioned, but the underlying effect of them is sacrilegious at best, really. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there, I got one here with John Wayne, Donald Trump, and Jesus. Jesus has a red, white, and blue flag sash draped over him with his shepherd's crook. I mean, I don't even know what to do with that. Okay, we've lost Eric. It's now a solo episode. There's another one. Talking about sacrilegious. What's sacrilegious is that I think Donald Trump is centralized and Jesus is put on the periphery. Mm-hmm. The one I mentioned of him being in the center of Da Vinci's Last Supper is the clearest example. There's another one here of, you know, I don't know, doesn't look like he's praying, but Jesus has his hands on Donald Trump's shoulder as though he's comforting Donald Trump, and Donald mm-hmm. Trump has his hand on the hand of Jesus and says, "It's okay, they called me guilty too." I mean, so to equate the charges, even if you think he was innocent, even if you don't like the criminal process, the reality that the whole trial was about money to a porn star, and you're somehow equating that with Jesus, they called me guilty too. I don't see that. I mean, I do see it, and I think it's blasphemous. Mm. I think that there's one with Donald Trump in the front and Jesus in kind of in the back. He's a little darker, and it says, "Obama kicked me out, but Trump invited me back," as though Obama kicked Jesus out, like a president is strong enough to kiss Jesus out, and a president is strong enough to invite him back. And it's going to be somehow Jesus is secondary to not just one, but two American presidents. And I mean, these things, the effect of them is to make less of Jesus when we think, or we feel, maybe mm-hmm. that we haven't really thought it through, we feel
right.
we're making more of Jesus. We want Jesus to be in our politics, we want Jesus to be in our public life, and we end up making him secondary and auxiliary to the real action.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, for me, that's the thing that just makes me sick to my stomach, actually.
Well, and again, you're communicating feelings, not arguments, not persuasion. Even that Obama kicked me out, Trump invited me back, all the underlying assumptions there that are required to be true for that to even make sense completely undermines Jesus. Jesus is the king of the universe. There is no, oh, the president of this country kicked you out, and now I need another president, a duly elected president, right. to invite me back, because that's the only way I can invade the hearts and minds of people in your country. It's just,
what do you suppose Jesus is outside doing once he got kicked out?
Right,
praying to Donald right. Trump that he'd let him in. I mean, that's,
and it doesn't say that, but yes,
right. Yeah. That's just not how that works. And
that's that's a little Jesus.
Oh, it's a teeny weeny Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so far from the real Jesus that it's blasphemous,
mm-hmm.
in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I actually put one in here, Eric. You have to admit, this says, "What if I told you comparing Trump to Jesus makes Jesus look bad, not Trump good?"
That's the Morpheus meme from The Matrix,
right? Yes. And it does, but mm-hmm. and then I included another one that I really liked.
And just to note, it wouldn't matter how good Trump was. Trump could be an exemplar.
He could be Mother Teresa.
Yep.
Right.
And if you start comparing him to Jesus, it still makes Jesus look bad.
Right.
Because Jesus is that good and that powerful and that sacrificial. So it's not just we have a bad outlet, and if we would have had a better outlet, this would have worked.
Yeah, no, or a better picture, work. Or a better meme.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Right.
Yep.
And then probably the sum of it, probably the sum of this podcast is the last one I have on here. Life is short. Make sure you spend as much time as possible on the internet arguing with strangers about politics. I'm sorry.
And it's just this just sad, pathetic man sitting in a chair.
But that's I think the effect of this too, is mm-hmm. that the outrage is toward social media, it's toward mm-hmm. you know, internet interaction instead of real life, or instead of prayer, or mm-hmm. instead of community. And we just shortcut all the things that really would matter mm-hmm. to go after the things that don't. And so,
well, I think that's probably the takeaway. Obviously, we've said it 100 times probably. Pray first, avoid social media. Actually, we used to say pray first, pray second, avoid social media, pray last. But I think just as a takeaway, one, try to not just jump into the squalor or the fight that is the meme battle. And before you share something or before you engage something, just think, is this going to help people? Is this going to help me persuade my friends that Jesus is greatest? And maybe that'll pause. Maybe that'll pause your social media sharing. Maybe it'll encourage you to go interact with a friend face-to-face rather than do it on social media. I still think within your text threads, those memes are probably fine. But when it's this type of argument, when you're talking about pretty big things and your end goal is I want Jesus to look good, just take a little pause and pray, is this going to be helpful? Is this going to shine more light on Jesus, or will this make it harder for us to see Jesus? And then proceed accordingly.
I'm just wondering who's going to make a meme for us about this episode.
Oh, I'm excited about that. That'll be great. Will you have anything else?
Well, I did. Somebody actually did. A listener did send me a comic after our last episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Pearls Before Swine, which is an appropriate name for a cartoon that ends up on our show. Mm. But one of the characters said, which of these two candidates are you thinking of voting for? The guy on the left. Most of his policies would really benefit me, Rat says. But what about the effect his policies will have on other people? After all, it's not all about you. And then in the next frame, his brain explodes. And it says, some ideas you have to introduce to him slowly.
I was not expecting that at all. My goodness.
So there you go. So thank you. Shout out to Andy who sent me the cartoon.
Nice.
And anyway, if any of you have memes for the as a result of this episode, you can send those to Eric.
you can send them to me at comment@cityonahillpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. We throw the episodes on social media. So if you want to reply with an encouraging meme, you can do that.
Oh, that'd be a good place for a meme.
If you find what we're doing helpful, a review goes a long way. And do share this with friends. And until next time, we look forward to the next conversation.